Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to episode 4 of Caper Captains, and today we have a special guest. We got Secondhand Bookman, Liam. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
Hello there.
I'm grand. We got three of us. We got more books boys than you can shake a stick at. We got myself, PJ, and Liam all here. And the reason you're here is because you've read an Agatha Christie that I haven't read. Now, I've got 70 Agatha Christie books on my shelf, and I know there's about 5 or 6 I haven't read. And you've managed to find one that I haven't read. Do you want to tell us which one it is?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. The one I found was The Mystery of the Blue Train, which I'm surprised you haven't heard of, actually. Mostly a couple of things that make it famous. The main thing being it's the first Agatha Christie story to feature the village of St. Mary Mead, where Miss Marple lives. So, little fact for you there.
So it features the village, but pre Miss Marple herself.
Right.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it kind of gets like a punch, and I mean, it's not kind of particularly set there or anything.
Right.
But it's also the novel she hated most. She absolutely despised The Mystery of Blue Train, which, you know, I actually think it's quite good. I don't really understand what her qualms were with it. And the other interesting thing is it was written directly after her famous sort of 10-year disappearance.
Mm-hmm.
Where obviously, you know, she kind of just vanished for 10 days after she found out, you know, her kind of husband asked for a divorce. And, you know, considering it was written directly after a time where, you know, the center of this, you know, insane kind of media scandal about her personal life, and, you know, no doubt her kind of head was in tatters, it's a really kind of coherent and well put together detective novel. You know, it's quite impressive for her to write something like that so soon after, you know, such a kind of traumatic period.
Maybe that's why she doesn't like it, just because she associates it in her mind with that period. You know, maybe that's the only reason.
Okay, yeah.
So yes, it's a very relevant book. I mean, that's what my suspicions are.
So it's a very relevant book for Agatha Christie fans, if you want to know about her life, yeah. So it's interesting.
Yeah,
so
I
assumed you read that book with that idea in your head, like what's going on, because I often think about what's going on in the author's mind during the time that the author wrote that book. So maybe you're thinking about that the whole time, her inner kind of struggles. Did you feel any of that vibe? Did you feel any of that frustration that you must have felt in the story or in the plot line or in the characters?
Anything I'll be honest. I mean, I only found out, you know, the kind of circumstances of what happened before, you know, after I had read the novel. So I kind of went into it a bit fresh. But, you know, having found that out, you know, there are a kind of few things in there that do point to the sort of mental state. You know, a kind of a large part of the plot is a couple getting divorced, which, you know, a year or so before.
Interesting. Okay.
So there's kind of like little sort of kind of hints and bits to sort of indicate what she'd just been through, I suppose.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So what happens then? What's the vibe?
Yeah. Well, just to kind of give a brief overview, the story centers around a woman named Ruth Kettering, who is the woman going through the divorce. And she is going through this divorce, is speaking to her father, who's an incredibly sort of wealthy American millionaire. He's kind of really desperate to just this divorce. She ends up taking the Blue Train in the title, which was this kind of famous train sort of in the early 1900s that would take the kind of rich and famous down to the French Riviera. She takes this train to go and meet her lover, And before she gets on the train, her father has given her a prized ruby called the Heart of Fire. You know, this kind of perfect, perfect jewelry, kind of no sort of blemishes, and you know, obviously everyone wants it. And so she gets on this train, unbeknownst to her. Her husband, or soon to be ex-husband, is also on the train as well, completely coincidentally going down.
Of course he is.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Suspect number one, you could say. And during this train journey, she's murdered, and the jewel is stolen. And also, who is Monsieur Hercule Poirot, and another young woman. Yeah, and there's another young woman as well who sort of almost kind of acts as his Watson. She's called Miss Gray. She's sort of quite a big fan of detective novels. What I remember, she's reading one on the train and she sort of looks up and sees Poirot there. So she kind of fills the role of Watson almost.
Right, so Captain Hastings isn't in this one then? Poirot's friend Hastings is not here?
Oh, no.
No.
Tragic.
Not. No, it is a shame. Yeah. So that's kind of the gist of the story, really. A woman with a prize ruby is murdered on a train as it's steaming towards the French Riviera. And there's a kind of couple of other sort of players in there as well. You know, a couple of red herrings to kind of throw you off the scent a bit. And yeah, I suppose that's kind of
the gist. Wow, okay. So there are a few things to talk about then. So it features Miss Marple's village, and basically it's also very relevant for Agatha Christie's life, especially if it's about a divorced couple or soon to be divorced couple. Well, that's very interesting. Okay.
There's some big news here, because this is, as far as I know, the only proof that Poirot and Miss Marple exist in the same universe. We know from Poirot's secretary, Miss Lemon, who appears in non-Poirot novels that with Tommy and Tuppence, that they're set in the same universe. But there's no link, as far as I remember, between Poirot and Miss Marple, apart from apparently Poirot being in the same book as, you know, St. Mary's Mead, which that's quite interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. You know, I'd never really thought of that. So, that is quite interesting. I mean, it is, you know, it is a really good book. I mean, I really don't understand why she hated it so much. I mean, it originally started off as a short story about 5 years prior. And it was called The Best. And it loosely kind of followed the same plot, you know, kind of woman murdering train.
Right, the Plymouth Express. Okay, cool.
Yes, yeah. I guess she felt that sort of Plymouth wasn't quite as exotic as a French Riviera. Or tweak it a little bit.
But, I guess not. So who are our main suspects? Presumably the husband, right? He's got to be the most obvious suspect.
Totally right.
Yes, yeah. So obviously Derek, the husband, is the main suspect. There's also Ruth's maid that she's traveling with. The maid is questioning. There's the secretary to her father. And there's also Ruth's lover and the lover of her husband. So there's a kind of sort of messy.
So they both had lovers, right? Okay. Underneath all of them.
They're always lovers.
Yeah, so, yeah.
It's. You know, the curse of Aphrodite, you know.
Exactly. So quite a stereotypical kind of cast. Kind of a stereotypical Agatha Christie cast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Lovers,
I mean,
and secretaries, rich dads.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't kind of particularly like push the boundaries of like a detective novel. There's nothing particularly kind of like amazingly kind of crazy or new or ambitious that she's trying to do here. You know, it's kind of typical messy, just sort of like marriage and divorce, you know, with a nice kind of shiny ruby thrown in there as well.
It just shows you that Agatha Christie, she made her own formula. So the first year took a while to write and get published. And then she kind of realized that her formula was successful and just reused it in different settings. You're just changing the settings, you're changing the relationship slightly, but it's really the same kind of thing.
Yeah, Agatha Christie is, you know, to books what, you know, Chuck Berry is to music, you know, just the same song 100 times, you know, that's...
Just change the lyrics, change the setting, right? Change the actors.
PJ, we've got 4 or 5 suspects there. Who done it?
Oh, I don't know. Let's think about this. No, I don't think it's one of the lovers. That seems too obvious. Could it be? Could it be the secretary though, trying to kind of like take advantage of all the scandal? That's what I'm thinking. Like,
you think the husband and the lovers all seem too obvious? So maybe
it seems
secretary.
A bit too obvious.
Okay.
That's what I'm always looking out for.
That's interesting. I'm gonna second you on that. I think that sounds like a passable guess. Yeah.
So well, I guess we have to just get it.
We'll never know until we read it. Yeah.
Interesting.
The Mystery of the Blue Train.
We always talk about the fact that I've read all the Agatha Christies. PJ, you've read like 20 or 30 of them yourself, haven't you?
I have, yeah. I mean, I'm not as much as you guys. I mean, you guys are the absolute experts, obviously, but I've never heard of this one, to be honest. So I would like to read it. I'm especially intrigued because of the biography behind it. I did read Agatha Christie's biography, actually, which was, to be honest, was incredibly dull, actually.
Yeah, but, I thought it would be dull. I've seen it in the shop. I've just never taken it.
And it's massive. It's like our biggest book. And I thought, oh, this will be great. No, it wasn't. But anyway, so I am interested. I was in the lives. And that's actually the main reason was why this attracts me. But also, like, I just enjoy her exotic settings. Le Train Bleu. It was a real train for rich people around that time, as I mentioned, Liam. So, yeah, that sounds cool.
Throw in a few old retired colonels or majors and you've got a standard identity setting, you know? That's
exactly,
That's all we need. Well, man, it was fun. Thanks so much for calling in. And we can all, of course, find you on your Instagram at Secondhand Bookman.
Hello.
Yep, that's awesome. The one. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah,
you sound like you're a superhero, basically. I mean, it sounds like a superhero. So, I mean, like, you're basically
like to bring as much into people's lives as possible.
That's it. You're benefiting the world. Thanks.
Yeah, one book at a time. Yeah.
Exactly.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.